Hi everyone. I actually forgot this is a poetry reading, and after all this talk about honoring poetry, I brought prose. Yes, I'm going to break the rules. So thanks everyone for coming out, and especially there's a lot of friendly faces. I just appreciate you coming out tonight. I'm working on a memoir, so I'm going to read the prologue and a little bit of the first chapter. Borax, cornmeal, and cherry blossoms. Prologue. We found the kitchen knives wrapped in a dish towel in the shelves under the stairs, amid jelly jars, light bulbs, borax, and cornmeal. The dish towel was white and old-fashioned, like it had been cut from a flour sack. The knives had wooden handles and blunt, discolored blades, as if left in dishwater too long. They would not cut cleanly. It would be difficult to, say, carve a chicken leg from its socket or shave around a ham bone. My brother Chris and I shared a bedroom next to the stairs. The shelves, the hallway, the bedroom all smelled of cornmeal. Our mother once dried flowers with the borax and cornmeal, then arranged them into wreaths and centerpieces she sold at art shows. She could have bought dried flowers from a craft store, but she believed in a certain authenticity. In winter, she plotted gardens with graph paper and colored pencils. On a page labeled May, she drew a blue trapezoid representing hyacinths by the chain-link fence, red triangles for the geraniums by the driveway. On a page labeled August, she replaced the hyacinths with yellow zinnias, the geraniums with orange marigolds. Then in early spring, she'd start the seedlings. In late spring, she'd buy flats of impatiens and pansies. In fall, she'd plant the bulbs. The gardens would bloom as planned, except when the seed company sent white hyacinths instead of blue, or mixed zinnias instead of yellow, which strongly irked our mother's meticulous nature. The flowers were kept under the stairs as they dried, the heads face down, in one part borax, two parts cornmeal, the stems protruding like tombstones. After 5 or 6 weeks, our mother would carefully brush the dust from the petals, clip the leaves, and create new stems with wire and green tape. She intermixed the flowers with dried corn husks and wheat, or perhaps a mosaic of dried beans, according to her own sensibilities. She was an artist, a folk artist. She made things. She painted. She also reupholstered furniture. Our home once showcased her work like a living museum. But by the time we found the knives, she had stopped drying flowers. The gardens had grown up in weeds. Still, the scent of cornmeal lingered. Chris and I had moved to the bedroom by the stairs because it was getting cold. The furnace was expensive to run. The wood-burning stove wouldn't reach upstairs, where I had my own room filled with books and Barbie dolls, and Chris had his with Lincoln Logs and Hot Wheels. In the room downstairs, we had a black-and-white TV, two beds, and a space heater. I was 11 or 12. Chris was 8 or 9. We did not get along well. We lived in that room, trapped by the space heater's warmth, but we did not like it. The room used to be our mother's, but now she stayed in the front room that faced the highway. I suppose it was the living room, although we did not call it that. It had French doors, gold carpeting, a cherry table, and an upright piano. At one time, houseplants hung by the windows, spider plants, ferns, and philodendrons, although they eventually withered from neglect. Our mother spent all her time in this room, in a cream-colored chair by the windows. She sat with her legs folded under her to one side, drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes. Decades later, in a one-room Tokyo apartment, I'll turn in a swivel chair as I sip coffee. My legs will be folded under me. I will face a mirror and see my mother. Dark hair, coffee cup, eyes that don't always connect. Only the cigarette will be missing. But I digress. It was like this. Our mother sat in her cream-colored chair and whispered constantly. She heard voices. She wrote down her beliefs on loose-leaf paper she kept in a basket by her chair. When our mother went to town for cigarettes, I read those pages. She wrote, "The pink man has a sick mind." All of the voices had names based on colors. She wrote, "The green man is trying to intimidate me." Of our father, she wrote, "The government is controlling Lonnie's brain with a computer." And on one particularly bad night, she wrote, "I hope Jenny, Chris, and I die soon to be free from this torture." And so we went to stay with our father. I don't think she would have done it. The knives were too dull. She often lacked volition. Chris and I were strong enough to fight back. But the fact remains, I did find the knives and could not forget them. I read her words in her own handwriting, so neat, so flawless and intentional. Now I'm just going to read a little bit of chapter one, vast change in emotion, so you guys can cheer up a little bit. Chapter one. I'm drinking a premium malt beer on the 45th floor of Tocho, the Tokyo Metropolitan Government building, as if I belong. Waitresses in perfect makeup and highly manicured nails shepherd tourists to their tables while some enchanted evening plays from a grand piano. Outside, a hazy blush rims the horizon and settles over the city's skyscrapers. I must admit the view is impressive. Tokyo is its own planet from here, with buildings cascading out to the Earth's very curve. In truth, I do belong here. This is a place for tourists. After 3.5 years in Japan, I feel only marginally acclimated. I still struggle with basic conversation and can barely read a menu. I fumble with the niceties, when to bow, how to accept a business card, what to say when you leave a room. There is no shame in this here, where most of the patrons sport backpacks, tennis shoes, and bulky digital cameras, but I feel outclassed. The wait staff wear crisp white shirts and black vests. Desserts arrive in porcelain cups with sterling spoons. The chairs are upholstered leather, and a candle graces every table. I'm wearing a gray polyester skirt suit that, like any practically minded Midwesterner, I bought on sale at JCPenney's during my last trip to the States. I'd like to look the part of some high-powered businesswoman having cocktails after work, but I'm actually an English teacher finishing up a midlife crisis half a world away from where she was born. This is my last week in Tokyo. I have 2 more shifts to work at an English conversation school, a small apartment of things to give away, sell, or ship home, and 1 million people to see before I set off for parts unknown. I should be packing boxes. I should be calling my bank, calling the electric company, calling the ward office to figure out how to close out my health insurance. I should at least be having drinks with my friends. But for some reason, tonight, I want to stare out across this massive city and sip my beer alone. Thank you.